I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to drop the puck. Time for the Nightcap. Your home for news and insider info on your Vegas Golden Knights and the NHL. Let's hear from the goalie. Here's Lindsey Brown.
Welcome back to another edition of The Nightcap. My name is Lindsey Brown, your host always and forever, and took last week off because it was Martin Luther King Day, and mostly because the Vegas Golden Knights were in a mad dash through their first six contests of the year. And to break down what has transpired since we talked to you last is my trusty co-host on The Nightcap and on The Playmakers, Paul Ihander. Hello, Paulito!
Hello, Lindsey.
How are you today, friend?
I am doing pretty good. Yeah. With a victory yesterday, with mm-hmm. that 1-0 victory, as you should say, on Sunday over Arizona, I'm happy to say that we no longer have to see the Arizona Coyotes for another 3 months.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I don't mind it because, first of all, I think that Darcy Kuemper was definitely starting to take some notes, starting to take over games that he tends to do, especially if they're low-scoring affairs, which yesterday's game was. But it's just no fun playing the same team over and over again. I mean, it's fun in the playoffs because, you know, you're playing for keepsies then. But this, you know, you're just kind of, again,
By Friday, I was done with them. And by Sunday, I just wanted it to be over, like pulling out a splinter that had been stuck there forever. It's like, let's just get out of here and get a dub, which they did. Mm-hmm. A late dub by any means, but it pushes them into, like, this next kind of portion of the season where it's another big long run at home.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be starting that run off at home with the St. Louis Blues, and that's really going to be their first big test. No disrespect to the Coyotes or to the Ducks, but it's a different type of air when you've won a cup in the last couple of seasons and have the amount of talent that the St. Louis Blues have and play with that type of snarl, because as much as yesterday's game was great because the Golden Knights won 1-0, as you said, with a victory coming in the final minute from a goal from William Karlsson, the Coyotes play a pretty loose and fun and free, speedy type of style, and that's where you can kind of put them in a corner really easily if you're able to steal their magic early on. But the teams that do get down early but are willing to work down low in the corners, that are willing to win in the face-off dots, that are willing to just grind it out, hit you, block any shot by any means necessary, those are the big boys. Those are the teams that are going to be around late in playoffs, and that's exactly how this Blues team is built to do. And granted, they're not off to like a blazing start, but there's really nobody in the league besides the Knights that could consider themselves off to a blazing start. And it's not like the Knights have played, you know, super well night in and night out. But Peter DeBoer said yesterday he thought yesterday's effort was their most complete 60-minute effort of the game. And it's hard to argue when it's a 1-0 contest, because how often do we see a shutout with this team?
Not very often. And you get solid goalie play like that. Mm-hmm. The advantage for the Knights is that they sit atop the standings, but the disadvantage is that they continue to hold that target on their back. And the longer you have that target, the more teams are going to come at you
with their best game.
Right, which mm-hmm. is why I wasn't crazy about the Coyotes and having to play them four straight times, where, yeah, there's
it
some
gets lethargic a little bit.
Yeah, there's some familiarity in mm-hmm. early on, it, you know, in this series, and I say series in the loosest sense, you know, possible, but where we really had their number, it felt like we were really outclassing them. But again, the target's on their back, and you get an Arizona team that's now hungrier for wins more and more.
Right.
They know they can hang in certain places, and it was really a matter of time whether or not they were able to put it together in one shiny game,
right,
which is what they were able to do.
They got to play opportunistic because they just don't have the same amount of talent or physicality to keep up with teams like the Knights if they're playing into the Knights' game.
Which for the Knights is good, because if they can control tempo and control the way that they play, they're mm-hmm. always going to have success in this Western Division. It's just
right.
It's just the nature of the beast. It's the way this team is put together. But night in and night out, if they have to consistently take the best shots from these teams, and yes, this St. Louis two-game set here is going to be an incredible test for this team to mm-hmm. see really where they stand in terms of this division. While they stand on top, again, you mentioned it's Arizona and right. it was Anaheim, but they're going to take a couple of really hard punches here from a team that really is their equal on the ice.
Right, and we obviously have some other alternative storylines as well, as we took Alex Pietrangelo from their team, captain, former captain of their squad, and then put him on ours. And so there's something to be said about the iron sharpening iron, because when we sharpen skates, we have to sharpen them against a stone pole. Otherwise, you can't sharpen them. And so we talked a little bit about the playmakers today, about how that is present in our goaltending department for your Golden Knights, which is playing incredibly well. Only one loss to either of those records, that being Robin Leonard on Friday, who did not play his best game. But Marc-Andre Fleury looks refreshed. He looks like he's playing a little bit more inside of himself and playing the game that this team needs to play. Because as much as we always say the Knights need to find their game, they need to find their tempo, that is ever changing, because you're not dealing with the same people and having the same amount of energy or focus on any given night. Like, you have to be able to go with the flow. And one thing that Marc-Andre Fleury was great for, because it would provide such great momentum swings when he was getting the saves, was his crazy athleticism, that he could, you know, get across the crease and rob these guys or get a couple of rebounds. But if you're not getting those, if you're just a little bit off and you're taking yourself out of position, that creates that chaotic energy in your defensive zone that just eats away at the confidence of your team. And I'm not seeing that from him. And I think, as much as that is him getting rest, I think it's because he knows that that is not his net alone, that he is competing for it night in and night out. And that's what I mean when we face the Blues, because there's something to be said about the pregame butterfly and getting hyped up for a big time matchup, because it's just, if I was playing a team that I knew that we were going to beat, that we usually beat like 8-0 or 6-0, it wasn't the same intensity. You could try to fabricate all you want, but there's not the same intensity leading up to those moments to the game. And so it's going to be a battle, and it's going to be their first really battle test of the season. And so they've had plenty of time to get their feet wet, but you know, they certainly haven't played their best hockey by any means.
Well, Lindsay, you mentioned getting their feet wet, and this leads me to where you took a little bit of my thunder there by saying that they are not playing some of their best hockey. But I think under the circumstances, the Knights, and especially Marc-Andre Fleury, have made the near correct mental adjustments, and he's certainly settled in physically, because he has made the adjustment from being an every night goalie mm-hmm. into an every other night goalie,
right,
which takes that mental adjustment, and physically he seems to have benefited from it. He's only
right.
given up 3 goals in 3 games,
right,
so we know he's that Marc-Andre, the classic Marc-Andre Fleury, old school mm-hmm. Marc-Andre, whatever you want to call it, that he is now in that zone. And I think the rest of the squad too, to a certain extent, has made that adjustment into this new schedule, this new way of NHL schedule life and game life
mm-hmm.
that we've seen. Now, advantage wise, they've only had to play in 2 arenas, and they're going to play in these same 2 arenas for several more weeks, which helps them just in terms of sight lines and mm-hmm. glare and what, you know, whatever else you want to call it,
right,
is where it is. But this team sitting at 5-1, it's not fluky. It's where they need to be.
It's proof of the system that
right.
it's working.
It's where they need to be. It's very, you know, and I don't know the Pete DeBoer coaching style from his time, because I didn't follow the San Jose Sharks by any means.
Or from the Devils.
But from what we've seen here, at least in the past, you know, half a year so far in the start of this new season, is that this team is definitely settled into routine pretty well.
Right. And that wasn't necessarily the case before, even when DeBoer was coaching, because when you make a midseason coaching change, he's not going to be coming in implementing his systems and everything, because you're just trying to win over the guys in the room, first of all. And then, you know, the pause happened and what have you. But you can tell that this is a very different coach team. You can tell if fans were being loud in practice right now, it's just, it's very intentional. There's a lot of stops. We're going to go up to the board. These drills are very intricate because we're working on this very specific skill set. And the one thing that Peter DeBoer is one of those system coaches. And it's one thing that does hold him back, because sometimes you get kind of set in your ways, like when we were talking about last week, in terms of, we got to get another breakout besides pushing it up the boards, because all of a sudden Arizona was picked that up from the first game. It was pinching down super hard with their defensemen. And that's where you ran into that first game where we won, but it was an absolute gong show of a game. But when you have that sort of calming presence, when you have, you know, this is what your assignment is, this is what this position does, this is where you go in this situation, it takes some of the mental load off the players and the emotional load as well, because you know that if A plus B happens, then C is going to happen, versus we're just going to try to chip this puck out and then hope that we have enough lightning in a bottle that we can get something going.
Now, you talk about intentional drills and intention being very deliberate in practices. Does that, though, create, and I think in some cases I can relate this to like kids who mm-hmm. color pictures, color within the lines.
Yes.
This is what we're doing, coloring within the lines. But I think sometimes when you don't color outside the lines, you lose some of the creativity as a player, especially on the ice, mm-hmm. because that's where the essence of the game is. It's not just about structured plays, but it's about having some of that creativity. Is this Knights team, and I'm trying to find it in certain places, and I see it, you know, with Zach Whitecloud doing a glove save, you know, and a Revo pass between the legs, and last night's winner to Carlson against
Arizona. It's about picking your spots, though.
Okay, I get that, but do we have to, is it picking your spots all the time to where that deliberateness kind of stifles the creativity a little bit? Because as someone who watches hockey, likes hockey, mm-hmm. is a hockey fan, and sometimes doesn't get too intricate into that game, mm-hmm. I like flashes of brilliance.
Yes. It's absolutely a thing. There's absolutely a horse blinder, you know, aspect to that. But that's where it's very dependent on morale, especially with how Peter DeBoer is as a coaching personality, or at least the way that I understand and read him, is that he's a pretty serious guy. And that there's definitely a space of separation that was not there with Coach Gallant. And that's what was needed at the time, and that's why they went in this direction, because this team has goals not to just make deep runs in playoffs. It's about winning the cup. And sometimes when you have a personality and talent that this team has that can get a little bit more wheel and deal, that can get creative, because we've seen that since the inception of this team. It's very, like you said, it's like kids, but it's dependent on each kid. Because not all kids, you know, like coloring. Not all kids like using the color green, and they want to color outside lines because that is incredibly necessary. But if you're early part of the season, or if it's this type of situation in a game, you can't just have everybody being, well, this is now my time to go outside of myself and make something crazy happen. Because you have to buy into the system. The system has to be foundationally set in there, so that it's not where we're just relying on Marchessault to go on a breakaway and go bar down, because we know what he can do when he gets the puck in open ice. It's like you want to get those opportunities and get the confidence to the level for everyone if they get that exact opportunity that they're going to shoot their best shot, just like you do it every time, Marshy, because we know you're going bar down and the goalie does too, and you still beat him. But not everybody is at that level. And that's where it's, instead of going more towards individual efforts that end up in a team victory, it's a team work towards the individual game itself, if that makes sense. It's just trying to basically control your energy a little bit better and pick and choose your spots, whether that's in the game itself or in a particular like matchup. So that's where it's just, you got to know when the right time is to do these things. And if morale isn't going well, if they're not getting the positive reinforcement, and they're going to go through some points this season where it's not going to be a super fun time to be a hockey player, that's where it's really going to be tested. But at this point of this year and what we know now, and because we have to go shift by shift, Paul, it's still about the system. It's about making sure that it is we before me mentality.
Well, system works because winning is fun. And
exactly.
And the fans are having a good time watching this team win.
Exactly. And that's all it's about for hockey, and the we before me mentality. And there's no one better that I know that is a better example of the we before me mentality is our next guest right here on the Nightcap. Winnie Brown, captain of the Minnesota Whitecaps, joins us in mere moments right here on the Nightcap.
Alone.
Your Monday Night Power Play, The Nightcap, on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Oh, my goodness. This is a special day. It always is a special day when the Nightcap is on the air, which happens every Monday right here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. But our next guest here is one of my closest best friends and happens to be one of the greatest hockey players that I've ever played with and that I think really has ever played. The captain of the Minnesota Whitecaps, Winnie Brote-Brown, joins us on the line now right here on the Nightcap. Winnie, what was the focus at practice today? Because I'm sure there were some tired legs after that big time comeback win yesterday.
Yeah, it was just a half an hour practice, just kind of get loose because the last 2 days have been a pretty big battle, especially after not playing a game for 10 months. So we kind of just took it easy, got some shots on Morris and Levier, and just kind of passed the puck around.
Right. It's just like riding a bike most of the time, especially after you guys are coming off two wins to start out the NWHL season, which is in a bubble in Lake Placid. You're very familiar with that rink. You spent some time living out there many years ago. Was that yesterday's comeback in terms of the swing? You guys were down, 5-1 with a couple minutes left in that second period, but end up winning the game in the shootout. Has there ever been a more exciting game that you were a part of than the one that you played in yesterday?
Yeah, definitely not in Lake Placid, that's for sure. It was coming back from a 5-1 deficit. Everyone was kind of, really on high alert on the bench. And, I just kind of tried to keep everyone calm and you just got to chip away at those games. And I'm thinking that in Lake Placid, anything's happened. So
right.
we just took advantage of that magical place that day.
And it's tough because when you get down big, especially early in the game, and it doesn't matter if they're good goals or bad goals, it becomes the hill that needs to be climbed gets to be really big. And so, like you said, it's chipping away. And you being the leader that you are, as I said, you're the captain of that team, always have been, always will be. How do you keep yourself in that mindset as well? Because you're the beacon that everybody is looking to.
Yeah, I think just on the bench, you got to keep everyone involved. All the players are going every other shift and, the players that maybe aren't getting as many shifts in. And it was one of those interesting games where even our goalie, Amanda Levier, had to come out of the game and, Allie Morris had to jump in. So it was kind of a neat game where it was a lot of people getting different points. Every single person stepped on the ice and participated. And, in these types of games and these types of situations, you need everyone. Staying positive and, just going out there and doing their best when they're given their chance. And I think our coaches really kept their composure as well and kept us in it and kept us focused on the task at hand.
And you're pretty familiar with the coach, with that being your dad, Jack Brote, who is literally one of the funniest and best hockey coaches I've ever played for, other than yourself. I mean, there's too many Jack Brote quotes that I, live by, that I die with. My favorite one is, first you got to get good, and then you got better. What did he say after that second intermission where you guys scored a quick two goals to make it 5-3?
Well, he always says, you got to be relevant. And, every single player that went out there tried to be relevant and make things happen as quickly as we could because, the games are long, but the time was certainly running out. And he's just, one of those coaches along with Laura Slominski that just kind of keeps you fired up all game too with the things that they say and, just kind of the one-liners and so forth. So we just kind of, we're a relaxed bench for the most part, but we keep our intensity pretty high.
Right. It's about challenging people to bring out, better versions of themselves. And sometimes it's a pat on the back and sometimes it's a kick in the butt. And Jack does more of the kicking mm-hmm. of the butt part. But what for you, because I feel like everybody is capable of being a good leader if you just kind of buy into to a system and buy into a creed. But what is the difference between a good leader and a great leader for you?
I think a leader is a person that is able to bring a whole group together and keep them positive and, keep everyone at their best, whether they're, like I said, playing every shift or the players that are, maybe not getting out there all the time, but just keeping everyone involved and everyone supporting each other. And I think that's what leadership is. And, obviously my role on this team has changed quite a bit over the years and everyone just has to accept their roles. And I think the leaders, it starts with, them accepting their roles and, just kind of keeping everyone else in check.
Absolutely. I mean, I compared you. We were doing a GOAT status check on the playmakers earlier because we were talking about Tom Brady and what he's been able mm-hmm. to do. And granted, he's definitely the part of the Tampa Bay offense that makes it run. But as you say, you're 42 years old yourself. The ageless wonder. Like I said, I don't think I've met anybody that can maintain the level of hockey that you play. Where does that come from? Where is the differentiating factor where you're still able to play at this level and to be as big of a contributor as you are?
I actually probably, it goes back to when I started playing this game, and it was always a battle, and it was always more of a game of being able to survive out there for the first 17 years of my life. Playing with the boys, and you know, every player out there, you know, their goal was to hit the girl or, you know, take her out of the game, or, and this wasn't even just the players, it was the coaches as well. So obviously the game was still fun for me, but when the whole environment for me probably changed when, you know, I was able to play with the girls, and it wasn't that, it was like I wanted to perform and do my best and be the best I could be. I wasn't worried just about, you know, getting through that game.
Right.
So I think it's one of those things where the game is still fun for me, and my game as a player has changed quite a bit. I mean, when I was younger, I was a super offensive minded defender. In the middle of my career, when I was playing, you know, collegiate and all that, and maybe on Team USA too. And when I started playing hockey with the boys, I was a defenseman, where my roles were break the puck out and stop the rush. You know, that was my two roles. And now it's kind of funny because now I'm reverting back to that player, which I'm like, I probably should have never left that player, maybe.
I don't know about that.
And just, the game wouldn't have been as fun for sure. But now I'm just like that player that's, you know, just your steady D that's going to break the puck out, stop the rush, and just, you know, do my job.
Right, because like malleability, people think like to accept your role and to go back and forth being like, I'm supposed to be the center of attention here, now I'm not supposed to be, or like you said, it's the survival complex when you're playing against guys, and especially guys that don't want you to be there, because you are one of, you know, mm-hmm. the pioneers of the women's game, not just in Minnesota but in general. And mm-hmm. I always talk about like people that have greatness within them. The best thing you can tell the best people is the word no. And so I call it the no-ment. What is the mm-hmm. most impactful no-ment for you during your career? Because if it spans as long as it has for you, there's no way that everybody's been like, yep, bring her on in. She's good. Keep going. Because otherwise it would just be too easy.
Right. I think, yeah, what kind of drives me as a person is when someone tells me I can't do something or not to do something. That's kind of my inner competition that I'll prove you wrong if you tell me that I can't do something. So I think that's what has probably always driven me. Like when I first started playing hockey, you know, I wasn't supposed to be playing hockey, according to some people. And I was like, I can play this game. And then through my career, I had ups and downs and, you know, making teams, not making teams. And it's like, I know myself, and, you know, I believed in myself, and that's why I was like, I can play this game at, you know, a high level. So, and it's always been fun for me.
And that's hard to do when everybody else is telling you, because it's hard to do even when people are supporting you, because there's just self-doubt. Everybody's a human being in that sense. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things I've always really admired about you, Winnie. And so when you're playing defense these days, you know, that you've seen the game climb to such new heights, talent level wise, you know, who's the toughest player that you've ever had to defend, and why?
I would say that a Haley Wickenheiser is probably the hardest.
I've heard of her.
Because she was, I mean, she had every aspect of the game, from the standpoint, I mean, she was strong, she was smart. She just saw the ice so well. And I'm talking about opponents, because obviously I've played with, you know, a lot of the names, you know, like Chrissy and Natalie and those girls as well. But just from like a person that wasn't my teammate to play against, I think, yeah, it would have to be Haley Wickenheiser. And she just made everyone around her that much better too, which is, that's when you know those are the greatest players in the world.
Absolutely, because it goes to the testament of hockey of it's about what you're doing without the puck on your stick versus what you are, because if those people aren't in the right positions because they know they want to make sure that she is at her best and has her ability to, you know, put her skill on display, that then why are we even out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to finding that energy and the momentum in games, you know, especially now that that everybody is playing in empty stadiums, you guys are in the bubble in Lake Placid, you know, and here in Vegas, the Golden Knights are playing in an empty T-Mobile, which is one of the most bizarre hockey experiences I've ever been a part of. Where do you find that? Where do you think the sweet spot is for teams that are looking to generate their own energy and momentum? Because it's not a given. It's something that you have to really go at with intention.
Right, and I think that's, you know, a really good point is our bench has been super exciting on the bench. Like, every time we score, we're fired up, and it's probably because we haven't played a game in 10 months. But I think it's because we're all going to have to feed off of each other's energy in every shift, because you don't have, you know, those fans to kind of get you going, but you do have your teammates right there to just, you know, keep encouraging. And that's kind of what I try to do on the bench is, you know, just keep everyone involved, because the more involvement and the more positive, it just keeps everyone on track.
Absolutely. And there's something to be said about being on the ice, and you're like, that's probably the place where it's the most normal, you know, as we live in the new normal here during the COVID era, you know, that kind of escapism that it provides to players. But speaking to your like larger kind of life in the bubble right now, what is that like? Where are you guys staying? What are you guys doing to stay focused and having fun when you're not on the ice?
Yeah, so we've been, you know, staying in a hotel, and we've been eating all our meals here. A lot of us are either taking the bus or we've been walking a lot, because the rink is only like 1.2 miles away, which is actually kind of a nice warm-up and cool-down. But it's been a lot of work, too, because I've just, you know, brought my computer and doing my daily work here. And we've been fortunate enough that we got here and we had a game. And two games in a row. So, you know, as on a game day, it's pretty much filled with all game day stuff. And then by the time you're done with your game, the day is over. So that's been kind of nice. And I think we have 9 games, possibly a total of 9 in 14 days. So that's pretty much a game every other day.
That's crazy.
So that's crazy. Yeah, and so it's going to go, pretty fast.
Right, because you guys are doing the regular season and then starting the playoffs for the Isabel Cup. And, you know, you guys were going to be going to that final in Boston last year. I remember talking to you, and you guys were super excited to go play and defend your title. You guys were the first inaugural winners of the Isabel Cup, which is the equivalent of the Stanley Cup for the NWHL. You know, It was widely rumored that was going to be it for you, and because you obviously you have OS Hockey, which is the most wildly successful business up in Minnesota for women's hockey development, and it's just at some point you move on. But to have that taken away from you, was that something that you your return where you were like, yep, I'm going back because we're not going to play this game, or did that decision come later down the road?
Yeah, well, I can't really. My personality can't stop in the middle of something. So for me, that's, you know, I couldn't finish without finishing a whole season entirely. So that was a pretty easy decision for me to come back. And I knew that this season, you know, with the situation we were put in with COVID, I knew it was going to be a shorter season. I didn't have any idea I'd be in a bubble. but it's actually... It's working out pretty nicely, and I think people were kind of questioning it at the beginning, and I think now that we're here and it's going, I think it's, you know, generated a lot of momentum, and I think our team's, you know, pretty excited about it.
Well, absolutely, and I'm pretty sure, you know, you guys are going to be on the NBC, you know, nationally televised broadcast. I mean, I watched the games this weekend on Twitch, but, like, that's huge for the women's game, and you've been behind, you know, the Whitecaps were around long before the NWHL. You've been in the background with all of that. You know, what does that mean to the game at large, but what does that mean to you personally as someone that has put so much into growing the women's game and to getting the recognition and, most importantly, the sponsorship that is really needed to make this thing go and take the next step?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to see how much the NWHL has done in the last, you know, few years. And to have the exposure from NBC is just, I mean, it's incredible. And it's going to do so much for the sport. And I remember when, you know, high school hockey in Minnesota was just coming to the stage and, you know, it got a lot of hype. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, the hockey's not that great. But it's like, yeah, but it, give it time. And now you look at high school hockey and college hockey across the country, and it's like, wow, look at what's happened in, you know, a short amount of time, 15, 20 years. And, you know, this is a starting point. It's, you know, I think it's going to be a great stage for, you know, people across the country to be able to see these women who have played at a high level in college, you know, have these people see them. And I think it's going to get a lot of support, and I think a lot of people are going to follow it, and I think a lot of little girls hopefully will tune in and see, you know, where they can play one day.
Right. Cliches are cliches for a reason. The whole, if you can see it, you can be it thing is absolutely true, because it's just.
And it's actually true.
Right. Because I remember growing up, you know, watching you play for the Gophers. I remember the first time I went to an OS camp, and I said the first thing I said to you was like, you talked to my dad on the phone. And I was just like so excited that you knew my dad, that you knew me, that I was going to be able to like learn under you and to like just see that from where I'm standing and where it is now versus like where you've been. It's incredible. And so to like talk about the transition of the game in terms of the gameplay itself, what's the biggest difference in women's hockey today versus where it was 10 years ago, do you think? Like, where has been the biggest jump and improvement skill wise
oh, your position, Lindsay? I would say goaltending.
Is it because of my influence? Probably.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, of course. but in all seriousness, I think, yeah, the goaltending has just really had to elevated to the point where the players now have had to elevate, because the goalies are getting so much better that obviously when the goalies are better, then the shooters have to get better, the players have to get better. And, you know, goaltending from even 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, all the individualized training that these goaltenders are getting now, it's like an individual sport partially, you know, mixed in with, you know, the team component, where it's really big that these kids are getting, you know, that type of knowledge, you know, to become so much better in the nets, which, like I said, you know, the best players on your team should be your goalies. And then, so if you're, best players are your goalies, then everyone else just has to get better.
Right. I mean, iron sharpens iron.
Like Boston, it's like, you know, it's 2-1 game because the goaltending is that good.
Right. It's crazy. I tend to agree, because it's just like you said, it pushes everybody else to be better. I mean, we talked about, Paul and I talked about it earlier, between Robin Lehner and Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm like, well, I think Fleury's playing so well because he actually has somebody to compete with. So you have to earn it every single day. And that it's not exactly a fun place to be. It's not a fun way to live, but it gets you the results that you never thought were really possible.
Yeah.
And I think you could say that the same about the women's game, about you and about the Whitecaps in general. So what's the biggest thing that you want to leave behind through this bubble legacy? Like you said, it's about the exposure, but what about you personally? Like, when you look back 5-10 years from now, because I know you watch so much of your own tape, I'm totally kidding. but what type of game do you want to play to leave behind?
I just want to see a game that is just fast moving and physical, and, you know, just a game that if you're a guy or a girl watching, it's just a respected game, and, you know, that people can appreciate that talent that's on the ice. And I think that's what anyone just wants to see, and I want to see, you know, people just continue to play with a passion, because that's the most fun, you know, game to watch, is, you know, you have people playing with grit and heart and all that stuff. And that's kind of, you know, the legacy I want to leave, is, you know, a player that kind of left everything out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you go out and block a shot, it doesn't matter if you're the fastest skater, the slowest skater, if you score goals or not, everybody gets those stick taps. And that's the great thing about hockey and that respect level that you alluded to. And so before I let you go, Winnie, on a little bit more of a personal note and a question, You're on a breakaway against me, which has happened several thousand times. How do you score on Lindsey Brown? What's your most effective move that's going to get the puck behind that goal line if I'm the goaltender standing in between it?
I just flip it over your shoulder. You know that.
Just keep it simple, right? I'm probably overthinking it. Which way is she going to go? Is it a one-timer? Will she try to go off the boards? Anything is possible with you, Winnie.
It's going to be a knuckle puck over your shoulder. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Hey, all I know is that I was at college skate like 4 or 5 years ago, and we had a Division I Minnesota Golden Gopher that you turned the puck over to her on your blue line, and she's one of the fastest skaters out there, and you, in your late 30s, turned around and caught her. I'm like, this woman is a freak of nature. It is not fair. It is not fair.
Yeah, I put my turbo jet.
Oh, my God. And you don't even look at like pushes. It. You don't even look like you're working hard. That's the most annoying thing.
I know. That's the most annoying thing, right? I know. It's
demoralizing.
That's where I think people maybe thought that I wasn't going as fast because it's
effortless.
And like I said, it goes back to my figure skates.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You teach kids how to skate on figure skates. That's one of your tried and true methods, right?
Yep.
Most people wouldn't think it. Well, Winnie, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and the best of luck to you and all the team.
I'm honored to be on your show, Lynn.
Oh, of course. We'll have to do it many more times, but maybe in a less stressful part of your life. So thank you so much, Winnie. Have a great rest of your night. Get some sleep. Don't go to bed until at least one.
All right. You know I won't. Okay.
All right, that was Winnie Brote Brown, the captain of the Minnesota Whitecaps. Thank you to her for joining. And we just have a couple minutes left because it is a short, shifted show. We'll be right back here on the Nightcap.
The Nightcap. That's a night with a K, as in Golden Knights. Duh. On CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Boy, whenever, wherever you want to listen to the interview that we just did with Winnie Brote Brown or any portion of the Nightcap, you can find that on the radio.com app or Apple Podcasts if that's what you prefer. All you got to do is search out the Nightcap, and you should be able to subscribe and share with your friends, because totally honest, like I am, as most of us are dependent on people sharing word of mouth or word of text, whatever. Send it around, because it's all about support. It's all about attention, and I can't get out there unless somebody tells someone else about it. But I appreciate you guys all hanging out with me tonight to break down Golden Knights stuff, to break down the NWHL and the women's side of the game that is so important to support. And there's going to be a lot on your horizon for your Golden Knights, because they are now going to be facing, I think, their biggest test of the season this week with a couple of games up against St. Louis. You know, Paul and I talked a few minutes about getting their feet wet with Anaheim and with Arizona again and again and again. But in terms of having playoff experience, in terms of having that grit, having that understanding of what it takes from your body, from each shift or to win at the highest level, the Blues are incredibly, incredibly familiar with it. And so are your Golden Knights. But as Winnie just said, iron sharpens iron. The best are brought out by playing the best. And I'm glad that we are all here to share that with each other. This has been the Nightcap right here on CBS Sports 1140. My name is Lindsey Brown, and we'll see you guys next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.